The only no-filter sports show in Kentucky. It's the Alan Cutler Show with award-winning TV sportscaster Alan Cutler.
No filter is no filter.
I respect you for what you've done and what you've brought to this community covering sports and all of that. And I always thought that you were a kind of quirky guy.
Hello, Mark. Mr. Pope, 1996.
Oh, my gosh. What?
Thanks, Johnny. He's hopping on right now.
Hey, let's give it up right here. This is my guy. Yes. I'm so happy to see you.
And we'll be so happy to hear from Mark Pope in about 30 seconds. Good afternoon. I'm Alan Cutler. Let's quickly set up the show and then we'll go right to Mark Pope. Coming up later, we will interpret Cal's ridiculous tweet and Kelly Kraft and give you information you can't get anywhere else. I've been on this thing. I will stay on this thing. I'm beating the crap out of everybody, and I will continue. Then at 12:30, we'll have a gentleman from Stoll Keenan, super respected law firm, Doug Barr, to explain NIL. He'll be live in the studio, and then we'll have Keith Madison. Ladies and gentlemen, hope he's on the line. Without further ado, is this Mark Pope?
I cannot believe that I get to be on the radio with the great Alan Cutler. I like, of all the epic moments of my life, I mean, this has got to rank right there at the top, my friend. I can't believe after 30 years that we get to do this again.
Man, I feel like you're setting me up. All right, Mark, I'm going to set you up. Here's the deal. Give me about 20 seconds to get to you with this. So about 10, 12 years ago, the TV station asked me to leave sports, become an investigative news reporter, and head up an investigative team. Promise you it's the truth. I said no. So what I did was, to talk to you, I got my investigative hat on, and have I looked into you. I have some questions for you, okay? And we'll see if you can figure out who it's from. My guess is the first one, you will not need all your Sherlock Holmes to figure it out. Are you ready?
Yes, bring it.
Okay. What is the guttometer?
The guttometer?
Oh, I said it wrong. The guttometer. Yes.
The guttometer. Oh, my gosh. So you said that, and I'm like, oh, I can totally, like, it's somewhere in the recesses of my mind right there with the circle theory, and I'm trying to remember. Give me another couple things.
Okay, let me give you a second one. Give me a second one. I should have asked this particular person, which you probably have already figured out who sent it to me, to pronounce it properly. So I blew that like a bad dog. Here's the second one from this person. Trash area, not trash can. I was told to say it this way.
Steph, for sure. For sure.
Well, explain.
Yeah, so this is not good. This is really not good. So, Steph and I... the guttometer, that is the greatest. Wow. So Shep and I, we were both meticulous about our lives. It turns like we're working hard. We're crushing school. We're giving everything we can to this game and Big Blue Nation and trying to do everything we can. And then Coach Pitino, of course, was so demanding. And we felt like when we walked through the door in our room in the lodge, that was like our only space to like let it go. And so we did, my friend, we let it go. It was a disaster. We actually somehow squeezed a little couch in between our beds, and then we kept moving it farther and farther away from the wall because it was just our trash heap. We actually took great joy in throwing like double-decker Taco Bell wrappers over our shoulder at our desk behind us into the trash area. And so, where things got really hairy, okay, where they got scary, was Shep came up with this great idea because guys in the lodge, you can imagine if Tony Delkin and Antoine Walker talked to us about our room being too messy, it was a problem, right? And so Shep puts up this sign on our door that a clean room is the sign of a misspent life.
Okay.
Coach P lost his mind. Coach P lost his mind. It was the second scariest moment I've ever had with Coach P. The first being when we went sledding at 2 o'clock in the morning before the Florida game and Shep twists his ankle. So of the terrifying moments in my life, the misspent life sign was number two.
Number two. And the first one on the list?
Was when we came back. So
I mispronounced it, the gutometer. What you wanted to think about it and tell everybody again what it is, and do you have it in your head?
No, I don't actually remember the context of
okay.
The gutometer. I don't remember the context. Chef's gonna have to help me with that.
Okay. The other thing, another word came up: snoring.
Yes. So Chef would wake me up all the time because he was against one wall. I was across the room against the other wall sleeping. And so Shep would get so pissed I was snoring, he would just start pounding on his wall. And so that's what would wake me up, is him pounding on his wall.
Sounds like college kids to me. Just sounds like college kids.
It's college kids, man. We also had car issues, but keep going.
No. Tell me about the car issues.
Well, I vaguely remember we were driving like an old, I think it was an old used Jetta, maybe. It was, I can't remember whose it was. It was just like, it was probably not certified for use on the road. And so we're cruising down, what's the main street? Is it Main Street downtown? We're cruising down Main Street on like a Friday night, the whole thing. And then we stalled out, like the car just broke down. And so I'm driving and Shep runs behind the car and he starts pushing it down the middle of the street, trying to get us going. It's just a total scene, right? It was beyond ridiculous. And then I think he cramped up. And so he's laying in the middle of the street and I'm like rolling like 1 mile an hour down Center Street. It was a moment to remember forever. I keep going, man. I got stories for you.
Go, like, go. Just, you know what? Thank goodness for you. There weren't cell phones. What else you got? Fun, goofy stuff. Because, you know, people forget you were once just a college kid. You know, my roommate's car could get us downtown, wouldn't start a second time. We had to walk back. And the next day, whoever had less beer went and got the car. I mean, so that's just being a college kid.
Yeah, it's super special. I was actually just talking to Seth this morning.
You got another one, or should we pass?
No, let's pass. I'm going to save myself right now.
You save yourself. Okay. This comes from another teammate. I'm going to guess it. You guess it. If not, I will tell you. Okay. Good. And the person puts it like this way. Question for Mark. Specifically, what coaching characteristics, habits, philosophy, or style did you intentionally or unintentionally adopt from Coach Pitino in your own coaching career? And this comes from somebody who loves you and is rooting for you as much as anybody in your family.
Okay, that is not a question from one of my teammates. For sure, that's not from one of my teammates.
Should I tell you?
Tell me.
Cameron.
Cameron Mills. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, because you know why? Because Cam's going into a professional. He's a professional in the business, for sure.
He will not be happy. Actually. He will not be happy that you called him a professional. He and I have this debate all the time. Yeah, I'm not in the media. I'm not professional. I just talk about it, but I don't want to talk about Cam. So anyway, do you like this question, and can you respond?
Yeah, I love the question, actually. And so it's like a multi-level question. So the question essentially is what did I take from Coach P and what am I intentionally keeping and what I intentionally letting go? Yes.
Yeah. And kind of like, you know, maybe you pick up something that you didn't think of and then someday you realize, oh man, that is from Coach P and I didn't think about it. Or you were thinking about it and said, you know, I really like this from Coach P and I'm taking it. We've all done both.
Yeah. So I've told this story so many times. First of all, I think Coach P is just about the best that's ever done it. I mean, I don't know if there's been a guy who's been at more different places and won at every single place. When he picked up, was it Panathinaikos? It was the Greek team.
Yep.
When he picked them up halfway through the season and they were struggling, and by the end of the season, they're winning the championship. I'm just like, it almost makes me mad that he's so good. Like, he just wins, right? He just is incredible. I hope part of what Coach P I hope a part of Coach Pete that I've taken from him is just his absolutely, he is just relentless. Like, he just will not be stopped or deterred. Things go good, he's going to keep racing forward full speed. Things go bad, he's going to keep racing forward. And then another slice of that I think is so fascinating is his ability to, like, create the narrative in such a way that even if you don't believe it, you're just willing to kind of keep going down the road with him, right? And he does it better than anybody else. I mean, he is he might be the greatest storyteller that I've ever been around. And I'm not just talking about telling a story while you're sitting down, you know, at dinner, which he is incredible at also. I'm talking about narrating a journey of a player's career and a team's season and everything else. He just is this, he's got this unbelievable ability to narrate. You know, he could tell you one thing today and tell you the exact opposite way to approach the game tomorrow, and you know it. You're like, Coach, that's exactly the opposite way you told me to do this from yesterday. But you'll kind of shrug your shoulders and be like, but I guess that's where we're rolling, man. Let's go. And I just – he just is – so if I could hold on to any slice of any of that, I would do it. And then the other thing for Coach that I hope I can hold on to is he changes lives, man. I can't tell you how many guys – like it's a long, long list of human beings that would just be like, man, Coach changed my life forever. And you know, if you could have a tenth of the impact, if I could have a tenth of the impact on my guys that he's had on me, I would feel like it's a job amazingly well done. So I'd love to adopt those things from Coach. And the other thing I'd love to adopt from Coach is I'm not going to tell you any of the things that I wouldn't adopt because I'm too scared he's going to hunt me down and kill me. So I'm not doing that.
You're 51 years old. You're afraid that a 71-year-old man will hunt you down and kill you, huh? You know, certain things just don't change, right? There's a perception, right?
Oh, my gosh. Coach has got it. Like, he is the Don, man. He is the Don in every real sense, and I love him. Like, I mean, just I have so much love in my heart for him.
I got a serious question. Are you okay with it? This is going to get touchy. It comes from a former UK player who's a friend of mine who's very successful in business. You can tell me no, but if you say yes, I'm going for it.
Bring it.
Okay. I'll tell you the person's name afterwards. And in fairness, yeah. I'm going to guess you won't guess who it is. In fairness to you, okay?
Yeah.
I'm reading this word for word. There ain't no pontificating by me. There's a perception that you might struggle early recruiting out-of-state black kids and their families to Kentucky. 35 years ago, I was one. And my family had legitimate concerns about my future prospects here after the ball stopped bouncing. Are you open to a conversation in which local black business and civic leaders played a role in recruitment/retention process? We want to help you win hearts and minds that lead to championships. You want to know who said that?
Yeah, tell me.
Jonathan Davis, who does my show a lot and is a very, very successful businessman.
Yeah, that's very cool. And the answer would be yes, 100%. Like, listen, here's the deal. Like, one of the most amazing things about Kentucky basketball and what it does for people in this state is it just connects us, right? It just connects us in a beautiful way. Everything in the world seems like it's set up to divide us. And Kentucky basketball connects us. And Joby did here and what Coach P did here and what Tubby did here and what Cal did here in epic ways was they made this program into this great connector. And so that's our job. It's my job as the head coach here. It's everybody's job. At this university and in this state. It's the strength of Kentucky basketball and this state. Is that we connect people. And I am so desperately eager to do that. We're kind of dedicating some time every single day to connecting with public people in the state of Kentucky and people that nobody even knows who they are in the state of Kentucky. Doing that in this time where social justice issues have taken center stage is more important than ever. And so, yes, the answer is yes, 100%. That's our job, and that's what we do.
I like how you said that. That's our job. That's really cool, Mark. Okay. This is the, if it's a no, I just want to move on quickly. Okay. Have you talked to Cal about this? I can tell you this. I know this for a fact. Okay. When Izzo was called about replacing Tubby after Tubby left, and I don't give a hoot when anybody says it's not true. I don't care because I know it's factual. Okay. And he talked to Tubby because they were really good friends. And it ended up not working out for another reason. I'm not wasting my time. That's precious with you to do that. So the question is, did you talk to Cal at all? And if it's a no, I'm going to move on. And if it's yes, and you don't want to say because it's private, Mark, I get it.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I had a conversation with Cal, a brief conversation with Cal the day before this kind of story broke. We were in a hotel at the Final Four. In the morning, I had just finished a workout, walked into the lounge, and Tubby and Cal were sitting there talking. Of course, like, those are two heroes of mine. And you know, because I'm a diehard Kentucky fan. And so so I went over and fanboyed them and took a picture. And you know, I think they're two of the greatest coaches to – certainly, I mean, they're two of the great coaches to coach here at Kentucky and two of the best coaches in college basketball. And so – The last conversation I had with Cal was just talking to Cal about how, like, as a fan, how amazing it was what he was doing and what he'd done in his 15-year tenure at Kentucky, and just how we're all cheering for him. Like, I'm saying that as a competing head coach, but that was actually how I felt. And so we haven't had, you know, there's so many people that that I haven't had a chance to speak to since we took the job, which I'll remedy over the coming days. But I haven't talked to Cal yet, but I'm a huge fan, man, and I'll forever be grateful for what he did here at the University of Kentucky, and because I love this place, and you know, just like the guys that came before him, he had his own steps in revolutionizing the way that college basketball is done. Like, each of those guys I named, they changed the way that college basketball is done, and he did it at the mecca of college basketball, which is the University of Kentucky. And so you know, he's been super generous to me over the years. I'm a big fan of his, and I'll look forward to talking to him in the future.
We're almost out of time, so I want to do this quickly, if that's okay. I'm going to just mention a name and whatever comes off the top of your head. And by the way, have you taken 200 selfies, 300 selfies since you've been in town? 400 selfies. Dude, I've seen your picture. It's like everywhere. I turn Twitter. There's Mark. Who's that work? I don't know. Mark went to a gas station. There's Mark. Mark went to the library, which you haven't had time yet. There's Mark. Mark is eating. There's four pictures with Mark. My gosh, whatever the Guinness damn book of records is, you got to be close. Only when you step outside your office. Matter of fact, I know some people that were waiting for you to come out of your office to take a selfie with you.
Well, we're blessed to be here, man. Like I said, the best thing is that we get to do this together. This is, I mean, you hear me say this, as long as Kentucky allows me to coach here, this is not my team. It's not even our players' team. This is the state of Kentucky's team. This is every single person, whether it's someone in Eastern Kentucky that's you know, figuring out how to do their life all the way to the Western tip of Kentucky or Northern. This is those people's team. This is like the 22,000 people that drove from all over creation to be here for a press conference. It's their team. And so, you know, we in that sense, you know, that's our job. Like, that's the job that we signed up for. And I love every second of it. It's what makes this place special. It's why I want to coach here. It's actually exactly why I want to be the coach here.
Real quick, I'll throw a name out. Whatever sentence or two comes off the top of your head. You cool?
Yeah, great.
Lamont Butler.
Winner.
Okay. Andrew Carr.
You said?
Oh, no. I thought you paused. No. I thought you were done when you paused like that. That was like one of my pregnant pauses. Back. No, go. You got another line. Is that it? With Butler?
Andrew Carr is born to play for me.
Born. Explain that.
He just is like his game, his personality. The first time we talked on the phone, like, it's almost like we're living a shared experience. Like, I feel like I really know him. I feel like he really knows me. His game fits exactly how this game is being pushed, like the edges of this game. You're always looking for the edges of the game, where the game is evolving to. And he fits exactly where we're trying to do that with that in terms of his experience, in terms of his skill set, in terms of his mentality.
Kobe Brea.
The most efficient offensive player in the last decade
Whoa.
There's only one dude in the last 10 years that you can say that about.
Wow.
Did I miss you? You said someone else?
No, I'm about to say, you made me go, wow, I don't think he's on your roster yet. Brandon Garrison.
This dude is going to be a pro. He is, his upside is so massive. He's going to be really special.
A kid that's been on the show many times. I love this kid, Travis Perry. And, man, can he shoot? He comes down court and stops and pops for a three. Not a lot of kids can do that. Yeah. Huge Travis Perry fan as a person and player. But you go.
I've said this. My favorite moment with Travis Perry was Jason Hart, who is, played at the point guard position in the league for 10 years, right? He walked in the office one morning, and we're kind of going all day and all night, right? So we kind of stumble in the office. He's like, man, I'll tell you what. I watched this Travis Perry last night on film. That dude can play. And so that sticks in my mind.
Colin Chandler.
Woo. 2 inches taller. 2 years away from the game, 2 inches taller. He's got a chance to be incredibly special.
Trent Noah.
I'm gonna say names that you guys aren't gonna know, but I think he's got a chance to be like heart and soul of this team over the next several years. He is gonna raise up at some point, and he is gonna win us massively huge games. And it might take a while to get there. We don't know. But he's going to win us some massively huge games. I'm telling you, I think about this kid, and I think about the great Kentucky players that have come before and won huge games for Kentucky. I think he's going to be one of those guys.
Kerr Creasa. Wow.
All I can say is, Big Blue Nation, you are welcome. Enjoy.
The footage of him getting in Luka Doncic's face, I had to watch that about 10 times. I'm going, if the kid played for Louisville, Kentucky people would hate him. I think people are going to love this kid.
So listen, Kerr's here. He drove down here. He's on his official visit right now, kind of a celebratory visit. And so we did a photo shoot. I think I'm allowed to say this because So he we're doing a photo shoot. And so we gave him a jersey and there's this conversation, he's going to be number 77. And so my GA actually made the comments like, oh, you're a huge Luka Doncic fan. And he was like, no, I had this number way before Luka started wearing it. He took it from me. Where, honest to goodness, that's what just happened 2 hours ago.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Like, with no hesitation. No, Luka took my number, man. What are you talking about? I love this kid.
Did I not ask you about a player? And I know you got to go. And, dude, I appreciate your time. And this is, I don't do this. It's goofy how happy I am for you and for you being the coach. It's really goofy. And I don't do this kind of thing and say this kind of thing. I think you know that, too.
Well, hey, listen, we didn't talk about Amari Williams. This dude is like the bedrock of this whole team. Like, he's a veteran. He is an elite level rim protector, a three-time defensive player of the year, one of the best kids you're ever going to meet from Nottingham, England. And he is, I'm telling you, he was the first guy. He was the first guy to jump on and kind of get this last 2 weeks rolling. And then the next guy was Otega Owe, who is, I'm telling you, Kentucky fans are going to love him. He just puts his whole guts and heart and soul on the floor. He picks up 94 feet every single possession. And I've called him, 20 times probably over the last 3 weeks. I have never actually called him, never. Even two nights ago, I called him at 10 o'clock at night. He was in the gym. I FaceTime him in the gym. He's just so excited. So we're really excited about this roster, man, as you can tell.
I couldn't tell. Good luck. God bless you. Thanks for your time. And I don't know about you giving the media chocolate chip crumble cookies. They don't need it because we're all fat. So, the gesture is nice. But
hey, listen. Hey, I'm going to say, hey, Alan Cutler, I'm going to say this sincerely.
Okay.
I'm super grateful for you guys. And I know there's going to be times when you guys just destroy me, which has already happened. But I love storytellers, man. And that's what you do. That's what you've done for your whole life. I got to, you know, you did it for us 30 years ago. Now you're doing it with us. And it's super important, man. It's what captures our attention, our heart. So I'm grateful for you.
Hey, dude, thank you.
You got a lot less hair. You got a lot less hair than when I knew you before.
No, I got more hair. Wise guy. Hey, I would have looked like this if they would have let me on TV. They wouldn't let me. I'm surprised they let me on TV anyway. Who the heck are we kidding? By the way, Joe and Kelly Kraft said to say hi to you.
Come on. How beautiful are they? I mean, I'm telling you, you think about the people that raise up and take leadership roles in this community and this state and in the United States of America. And those are two people that, they are working so hard for the state of Kentucky and every single person in it. I'm really grateful for them. They're actually terrific.
Mark, you shame me, so I'm going to go and get a haircut after my show's over. I can't believe it. Which means, if that's true, which it's not, and you know that, my wife would be very happy. Hey, dude, get off my phone. I went 2 or 3 minutes over. Bless you. It's great hearing your voice. Thanks for the time, and hopefully we can do this down the road.
You got it, Alan. You're good, brother. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Pope, was that fun or what, Jimmy? We even got the snoring.
Did get the snoring.
I sure blew it with that first name. I'm still not sure how to pronounce it correctly. We should replay part of this at a certain point. First thing that sticks out in your head from listening to Mark. I got one. You were listening intently. Or you want me to go first since it's my show and you're thinking. I can smell the wood burning in your cranium.
I mean, I can go first. One, his stories with him and Jeff Shepherd were great.
Wasn't that good?
But his description of Kirk Risa. I don't know why that. Just because I've seen some clips of him giving some answers about some food he's eaten when he was in Arizona. Just his personality. I feel like it's going to be fantastic.
Maybe the best line of the whole conversation was, Luca took my number. Yeah. I had it first. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah. Just how excited he is about Kerr's personality tells me what I need to know about Mark Pope loving that.
He has an edge. And like I said, I've watched a bunch of and honestly, I did not know about him. So I'm not going to lie. First of all, I wasn't going to watch West Virginia because they weren't good last year. And also because I don't like Huggins was wrong. 1,000%, but how they dealt with him was stupid, and I knew they weren't going to be any good. But anyway, this guy shoots going to his left. This guy can pass with his left hand. This guy shoots going to the right. This guy is really, really, really good on the pick and roll. Something Kentucky sucked at last year. He's got a feel. It's like the big man starts moving, and he's throwing the ball before the move is totally made. There aren't a lot of guys that do it. But don't you like it? He just laughed when I said that. He just left. And I forgot to mention Williams. And what does he do? Because he's only 100 times smarter than me. Yeah, you forgot to mention Williams. Because that's Mark. And that's my whole point. He's smarter than you. Damn smarter than me. And you've got to put that into effect. And there's a humbleness about him for being so smart that is off the charts. Off the charts. Off the charts. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, UK, for keeping this today when there could have been a way to sack this because of stuff he's got going on. So thanks, and hopefully the next time Mark will come in the studio, and then there will be fireworks. Doug Barr is coming up next, and I'm expecting to learn from this gentleman. Jimmy, help me out here. We've done this. We've been together 19 months, right?
Yes.
Has anybody ever walked in the studio, as so many people have, with a tie on?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm scared. I don't know this man, and I'm already scared. My brother's a lawyer, a very successful lawyer, and he don't scare me. Now I'm scared of you, but I'm being serious. I'm expecting myself to learn some stuff, I hope to, and then I'll be shocked if you don't learn some stuff. And we'll explain why in a second. Keith Madison coming up at about 1:15 while the game is going on. Keith, one of the class acts ever of anybody I've ever met, who happened to be a great coach for a long, long, long time with UK baseball. Doug Barr. Coming up next, managing partner of Stoll Keenan. Did I get that right? I did get that right. Coming up next, Alan Cutler, 1300 AM. Thank you, Mark. Thank you big time. 1300 AM, 92.5 FM.
The Alan Cutler Show on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM and on the ESPN Lexington app. Presented by Republic Bank.
Every bank claims to have great customer service. But at Republic Bank, you don't have to take our word for it. According to a recent customer satisfaction study by the Qualtrics XM Institute, Republic Bank customers are nearly 3 times more likely to recommend us to friends and family compared to the industry average. That's right, nearly 3 times. So, what are you waiting for? Choose a bank you can brag about. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
School's almost out, but the deals are just getting started at Don Franklin. We've got the largest inventory of new, used, and certified pre-owned vehicles in the state. Plus, take advantage of Don Franklin's 10-year unlimited mile powertrain coverage, available for most makes and models. With 27 dealerships all across the Bluegrass, our trusted family is here to serve all of your auto needs, Kentucky. Come on in to your local Don Franklin dealership or steer your way over to DonFranklinAuto.com. Driven by family.
Houchins Insurance Group is proud to partner with Auto Owners Insurance, a company that provides opportunity for independent agents to make insurance simple for their clients, offering risk management services that range from a renter's policy for your college student to home and auto coverage for your entire family. Houchins Insurance Group assures you that nobody works harder to keep you protected from life's uncertainties.
Reach out to AJ Boss or Zach Bennett at 859-263-2771 to see if Auto Owners Insurance makes sense for you.
On the road again.
Rick, where do you think you're going?
Everywhere, Brett. Warm weather makes me want to get on the road again.
If you're like my brother Rick and you can't wait to get on the road this summer, be sure to stop in Clark's Pump and Shop for discounted gas and in-store specials.
That's right. This month we have Jack Link's Jerky 3 1/4 ounce bags, 2 for $10, and assorted combos peg bags, 2 for $5.
Clark's Pump and Shop. Return, refresh, refuel.
Back to No Filter Radio with Alan Cutler. Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, and Google, Monday through Friday.
I would say, if you're just tuning in and you missed Mark Pope, the podcast of this show and every show is on WLXG.com. Jimmy usually gets it up there by a little after 2. I always tell people 2:30 so nobody's disappointed if the internet does crazy things. And our podcast numbers have continue to go through the roof and double and double and double and double. Seriously, this is all in the last 5-6 months. I'm appreciative of all of you, and I know we have people listening online all across the country, which interesting how this sucker is changing and growing, so thank you to all of you. Okay, we're switching now. This gentleman's name, never seen him before, didn't know what he's going to look like, but he's wearing a tie. Of course, he's got some more important things to do after doing this. Doug Barr, managing partner of Stoll Keenan, one of the most respected firms in the state of Kentucky, is kind enough to join us. And a friend of mine told me about you, and I'll be blunt because that's just the way I am. I had no idea who you were. I'm sorry, I'm just being real. Maybe I should know, but I didn't. And then he explained what you did, and I quickly said, you think you'd come on the air? And he says, it's Greg Long. I'll just mention Greg's name. Greg and I are dear friends. He goes, well, why do you think I'm mentioning it to you, big dummy? Meaning me, not you. So he checked with you, and then we kind of went from there. So correct me, please, if I'm wrong. Besides all the other things you do, that I don't know if you're an NIL specialist. You are, but you're getting into this brand new field that I think is in the process, as we all know, about to explode. And you've represented some people with NIL. I'm not going to ask you the client's name if you don't want to say it. That's fine. That's not why I brought you on here, by the way.
Yep.
I am fascinating, though, because, man, this is what I do. And there's so much about NIL that I don't know. And it seems like this stuff is changing all the time. And my last thing with my long-winded intro, I've talked to 3 different schools just in the conversations of stuff I do. And they all said the same thing. They have no idea what the heck is going on. And it changes quickly. And that 3 different schools, different sports, and there's nothing negative what I'm saying, have different interpretations of what the heck it means. So I've said to all 3 different schools, just as a friendly private conversation, names aren't for radio or anything like that, I go, how the hell you do this? And they go, we don't know.
Well, you're right about that. It's changing fast. And just to give an example, what got this all started was a number of states, starting with California, but a number of states passed statutes that precluded the schools, the NCAA schools in their states, from denying their athletes the right to license their NIL. And that all this came to fruition in June of 2021 when the NCAA changed its rule. But since then, Alabama, for example, passed a statute, one of the early ones, and they have subsequently repealed the statute. That's how fast things are changing.
So when I hear, and this really confused me, That Texas A&M, that's got like $70-something million to pay off in Fisher, which is
right.
The president should be fired for that as well as the athletics director, but that's not why I brought you on.
Right.
That they're, this really confused the heck out of me, that they're firing and letting go some senior people in their athletics department because they need more money for NIL. I went, I don't understand. Can you explain that? And matter of fact, I read multiple articles about it. I wouldn't normally read that much stuff about Texas A&M, but when I saw this, I'm going, I just have to understand it. And it, everyone said the same thing. Does that make any sense? Is the NIL, I mean, where does the money come? Give me a pattern, if you would, for the public to understand, me too, by the way, as to where the money comes from, how it gets to the athlete, and what the process is for today, which means 3 months from now, if we're kind enough, you're kind enough to come back, you might tell me it's totally different.
Yeah, and in 3 months, it might be different. But where it comes from right now is, and the original NCAA rules, which have now been enjoined by a federal court in Tennessee, but the original rules were providing that the schools themselves, the NCAA institutions, could not pay NIL money, couldn't license the NIL of their players. And instead, it was supposed to come from, you know, the local car dealership that's going to pay you some money to come and promote their cars and things like that. So it's literally third parties that have been funding NIL. And I don't know about the Texas A&M situation. All I can surmise is that some of the funding for those folks, Alan, that you said were terminated is coming from outside sources, and they need to free up that money in order for the outside sources to be able to pay NIL, pay money to license the NIL, the athletes directly.
So what is your role? Again, I'm not asking specific. I promise you.
Okay.
You're not going to answer, and that's not where I want. Would not have you to come on to ask you to say something you can't say. But what do you do as a role? Is it a conduit to put two and two together, or you're representing an athlete, or you have somebody in your office, if you are, I can't imagine you're doing this, soliciting, you know, clients for, I mean.
We don't solicit clients.
I can't imagine you did. what's your role in helping out an athlete?
So it's like anything. I mean, you're a celebrity in Lexington. If you were going to,
do me a favor,
you're going to laugh.
Please tell my wife.
But if you were going to license your NIL, your name, image, likeness is just a shorthand way of saying the intellectual property that each person has. It's your personal property, and you can give someone the right to use that. And in order to do that, typically the way it's done is through a license. And so those license agreements can be as simple or as complex as the parties want them to be. And so one of the things that lawyers do in this process is advise both sides, either the person that wants to obtain the license or the company that wants to obtain the license or the athlete, about here's what the contract means, here's the way to protect yourself, here's, you know, some of the common terms that we would put into a license agreement. That's what lawyers, mostly what lawyers are doing in the NIL space right now is suing the NCAA in class actions. And there are at least three massive cases going on right now that depending on the outcome, can change college sports completely.
I'm not a lawyer. Don't play one on TV because my brother handles the family for that. But I have heard, and I don't know if it's rumor, conjecture, or opinion, don't know, that the NCAA could be in serious trouble in the future, and there might not be an NCAA a few years from now, which the whole thing about the TV contracts and the money and where it goes to and conferences and stuff, this whole thing is just, it's crazy. I mean, is it possible there will be no NCAA 5 years from now?
It is certainly possible, but it's more likely that it'll be in a different form, that there will be some kind of entity that does its best to put its arms around and regulate college sports. That's what's likely to happen. But right now, the two biggest cases, there are two kinds of class action cases that are pending in the courts. One of them has to do, two of them actually have directly to do with NIL. For example, the NCAA came out with a rule, an interim rule, that precluded collectives from recruiting students to come play at a particular school. That's what the rule was. And the attorneys general of Tennessee and Virginia filed a lawsuit in the Eastern District of Tennessee federal court alleging that that was a violation of the antitrust laws. And they got an injunction that precludes the NCAA from enforcing their rule against collectives having direct contact with and in recruiting athletes. That's one of them. The other one is, and this is pending in the Third Circuit in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. The other one is a claim, again, another class action. It's called a collective action, but a claim that athletes at their schools are employees of their universities, and therefore the Fair Labor Standards Act applies to them, meaning they've got to pay overtime and minimum wage. And that's pending. That decision has been in front of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals for a long time. Could come down today. Probably won't, but could come down at any time.
The employee thing, that's got to be huge.
It's massive. It's massive, Alan. The entire scheme that the NCAA, I didn't mean to use the word scheme, but the entire structure, that's a fair way of saying it.
You see my eyebrows go up?
I know.
It was kind of like, I just met this man, but I don't think he wanted to say that word.
The scheme is not the right word.
But trust me, I slip 1,000 times more than you do.
The structure of the NCAA has always been that the schools, they've got their own charters, they've got their own mission, you know, research and education and that's in public service, and they don't pay their student athletes. They just don't. There's no pay for play. That's what you see in all the NCAA materials. And so that's, if the athletes are employees, then they are effectively doing that. And that changes everything. Just ask any business person, if you have an employee, what are the obligations that you have and all the compliance that you have to do? It's massive.
Doug Barr, kind enough to join us. Managing partner, Stoll Keenan. Do you predict that someday there'll be employees? You don't want to say anything because who knows what the courts will do. Do you think that's where it's headed, whether this case goes one way or the other?
There is one of the NIL cases that's pending in front of the courts right now is, again, it's in California, the same district court where Ed O'Bannon sued and the Alston case started. It's in mediation right now. And the nature of the suit is that the plaintiffs are claiming that over the years, even before the NIL rules changed, the NCAA was licensing to broadcasters, make billions of dollars, for example, in the NCAA tournament, licensing to broadcasters the right to broadcast without the permission of the players to use their name, image, likeness. And so what was reported recently, I think a week ago in the media was...
It was last week.
Right, that they've been in settlement negotiations. And the NCAA, somebody leaked out that the NCAA is looking at paying approximately $2.9 billion to settle the lawsuit. Who knows if that's true, that, you know, it's a leak. But if the case settles like that, then the NCAA will be paying for directly the license to from their athletes for their NIL.
Dumb question. You probably don't know, but isn't it the first thought, like, do they have this kind of money? Would that make them fold?
We're talking about, and
I know the TV contract is also, but that's over a number of years. And they're not making that kind of money every year of the contract because, you know, I've seen the general structure of it without the particular stuff. I looked at that going, well, whatever the settlement is, I don't know what's going to happen, but how could they possibly have that money?
Well, what I read was that it would be paid out over 10 years,
right,
which makes it a little more palatable. And there would be some kind of understanding that going forward, there would be current payments to current student athletes. So that it's essentially on revenue sharing of the broadcast.
That's rights. Exactly what it is.
Right.
So since you've seen both sides of this, Doug Barr, as a lawyer, take a step back. Can I give you a new role? Although
sure.
the pay might be a dollar a year, okay?
About what I make practicing law at this point as the managing partner.
Managing partner, right. If you could be the commissioner, since you've seen both sides, of college athletics, and you could be the judge right now, how would you structure this for the future so that there's less talk about money in the media? Kids get what they should have gotten all along, yet there's some a semblance of reality instead of this wild, wild west thing that's going on, and agents lying to other things about, this person will pay me X, and they don't believe it, but we'll take Y. I mean, this is like horse trading is what's going on with a lot of these colleges. What would be a great solution to this so that college sports, the beauty of college sports, there's a lot of bad in college sports, but the beauty in college sports could still be there for the athletes, the coaches, and the fans.
So you're a baseball, professional baseball fan, right?
I love baseball.
Right. And you know how baseball structures itself economically so that the smaller teams can at least theoretically compete. You know, they've got, it's not exactly a salary cap, but something like that. So the way that the NCAA is structured at present and their reticence to, and it's legitimate, their reticence to call their athletes employees or allow that status to happen has really got them in a bad place. And so what they need worse than anything, and this is, and the current commissioner, the NCAA, is doing this. What they need worse than anything is an antitrust exemption from Congress. Can't be from, obviously, from the states because the antitrust laws are federal. So, and they're working hard to do that. Now, you know, good luck getting a bill passed through Congress. But without that, moving forward, no matter what they do to try to constrain any individual athlete's ability to get more money from their NIL or even from their athletics services, they're going to run afoul of the antitrust laws. It's just that simple. So they really need that more than anything, and it's a wise move on the NCAA's part to do that. But what's likely to happen is that this is just my opinion now, Al. It's not based on any okay. law. But in my opinion and others' opinion, that the really successful institutions like UK and other really successful institutions will have a smaller group that will arrange themselves into something that's more like a professional league where there are some limitations on the economics of it. Because otherwise, the NCAA will just be sued into oblivion for antitrust. Because so far, they're losing those cases. Now, obviously, the big one being the Alston case in June of 2020.
Has the NCAA ever won in court? That whole thing was that they never win in court. When my hair wasn't white, they weren't winning in court.
When I had hair, they weren't winning in court.
I don't know you well enough. I wasn't going to go there.
It's okay.
I'm not political. I've said this many times on the show. I don't care. It's not a comment toward you, but we have new listeners all the time, which I appreciate. I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care how you I don't care. I don't care.
Me neither. I'm a lawyer.
Okay. Well, that's smart. Yeah. I like that. You sound like my brother. I don't know how you get something like this passed with all the acrimonious, is that a lawyer word?
Yeah.
Acrimonious behavior that goes on in Congress and the Senate and stuff like that, and how they can't agree on anything. Again, I'm not being political. I'm just saying I'm looking at the obvious, how many things I'm more worried about the border control than I'm worried about kids in college and stuff like that. I'm not negating it's not important, but to me, there's bigger things that need to be done first.
Yes, we can agree, without being political, we can agree on that. But I will tell you this, that and there's a funny story about the Alston case that was decided by the Supreme Court in 2021. But and it had to do with the NCAA. The NCAA is the one that took the case to the U.S. Supreme Court. They're the one that asked the court to review it. And the NCAA managed to do what is impossible for most lawyers to do, and that's unite the liberals and conservatives on the Supreme Court against the NCAA.
Which is like an impossible task.
That's right. But the point is that I would not poo-poo the idea that Congress might actually act, because conservatives and liberals both love college sports, and the structure of the NCAA, but for the laborers not being paid directly by their employers, but for that, it's a wonderful business, and it provides incredible joy. No, our state, Al, I mean, this is a college sports state.
Absolutely.
Mostly. And so, and we're not the only state that's like that. So it's worth saving if it can be done. But at the same time, well, how would you like to, this is the business that I'd like to have. I'd like to have a business where I'm able to stage athletic events using athletes that my customers pay for.
That's a good way of putting it.
That's what's happening right now.
That is what's happening. Okay.
And it's worse. Part of why this needs to be fixed is that
not just the customers, but television. But go ahead.
That's right. The television's right. But the part of the reason this needs to be fixed is all of the NCAA rules that limit the athlete's ability to either be paid or move around are subject to the antitrust laws. So, you know, we're all – the portal, for example, is a really big thing. Thank God for the portal this year, right, with Mark Pope.
Absolutely.
But that used to be different. Remember? Mm-hmm. When if you transferred, you had to sit out a year and didn't matter what – That's,
you know what I never liked about that? And I broke the story. It was on Roderick Rhodes.
Yes.
They decided, I had a source that told me that they did not renew his scholarship. In the old days, when my hair looked different and you might have had a little more hair, the scholarships were 4 years. It hasn't been a four-year deal for years and years and years and years and years.
It can be now. But yes, you're right. It hasn't been.
It hasn't been. And because of that, that's why I think this whole thing has been unfair. Totally unfair. Why should a kid be hamstrung when a coach leaves with 3 years left on a contract and nothing happens?
But now where we are, because in baseball, to use one of your favorite sports, you can have multi-year contracts.
Right.
And so if you, Alan, invest your emotion and your passion into the Cincinnati Reds players, you have the assurance that they're on a 3 or 4 year contract and they'll be around for a while. Now in college sports, because the portal being imposed without an agreement of the people who are being limited, the portal essentially makes every player in every school a free agent every year.
Which is crazy.
It makes it difficult.
Can you see the day, and I'm expecting this will happen, Jimmy's a talented athlete. I stretch sometimes. And you're representing Jimmy at X school.
Right.
And this X school puts on the table a really nice deal. You really like it. And this deal says, it comes to you, we want a 2-year deal unless you go play pro ball. I'm waiting for the day with so much money out there that some of these contracts will be for 2 years if you want to get paid. And one other thing, you're a Joe Carr shop here in town and you're paying a football player X amount of dollars. More power to everybody. But then you decide at the end of the year you're not going to play in a bowl game because of what you want to do for the NFL. But I'm Joe Carr, and I paid you all this money. Now all the publicity is on the bowl game, and I ain't getting my money's worth. I wonder if these contracts will say, we'll pay you X, but you got to complete at least the entire season. Do you see some of these alterations happening as this thing gets a little more maturity?
First of all, Jimmy would play in the bowl game. Let's just say that. He would definitely play.
Fist bump on Jimmy. Right? Yeah, he would, actually.
All right. But when you said at the beginning of this conversation how the schools you've talked to, they say, we don't know. That's exactly what's going on. And so I would tell Jimmy, honestly, if I was representing Jimmy,
yeah,
and regardless of what the school was, I would say be sure that your contract gives you the maximum freedom to move. And so it's all just a matter of contract. It's a matter of what you agree to. But your licensing agreement could say, you can divide it up, Alan, into a number of things. I'm giving you the license to use my name, image, likeness in car dealerships. I'm giving somebody else my rights to do something with something else. It's just like that. That's how intellectual property licenses go. But yeah, can I see that happening? Sure, I can see that happening. But at the moment, it's not happening.
Can you see the day, because it happens in the NBA and other places professionally, where agents, lawyers, wherever they come from, have to be licensed? I'm a little surprised it hasn't happened already, that it wasn't part of the process. I anticipate because of the newness of all this, they either didn't think of stuff, which is incredulous to me, or didn't think they could put it in. You know, you work for a huge, respected firm. I will assume most people doing this are very credible. I will also assume that there are some people doing it who are not credible, because that's life. I'm not asking you to comment. That's not the point. The point is, shouldn't, for the sake of these kids, for the sake of university, for the sake of the deals, shouldn't whoever it is be licensed so there's a little more structure in what's going on? And I'm going to guess you would love that because you're a managing partner in one of the best firms in the state. So you would say, yeah, we need to do this. So that eliminates some people who, I don't want to say shysters, but some people, I just did, didn't I? Well, yeah. I'm not the lawyer. It's okay. And I'm not calling anybody a shyster, but
right.
In this, there has to be a shyster somewhere. It's not, so 99% of you are great. You can't sue me because I just said that.
First of all, let's not kid ourselves that kind of thing hasn't been happening for years. That there haven't been people on the that aren't competent giving advice to student athletes.
Amen.
But
that gives somebody like you a bad name, correct? And it's got to tick you off. That would tick me off. No.
Well, what really ticks me off is that it's just not fair to the athlete. They
right.
deserve better. But just so you know, the first state, all of these, not all states, but many states passed these NIL statutes back in, I think California's was 2020. And then everybody thought, wow, that's a good idea. We're going to pass our statutes that require our state schools to allow our student athletes to make money on NIL. Most of the statutes had all sorts of restrictions in them, including what a student athlete could do with respect to representation. And most of them try to do what you're describing, Alan, and make sure that they have available to them good, sound advice. And it's what you described in most of the state statutes would be unlawful for somebody who is not doesn't meet that particular statute's requirements to try to step in and represent someone.
Okay, you're a big.
So that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're a big company, Walmart with Cal or something. There's
right.
a lot of great big companies here. I'm actually trying to get out of Lexington so nobody thinks I'm picking on a company. Well, I'm not picking on anybody. But, you know, and you've decided you will give $1 million a year to athletes and decide where it goes to. That money never touches the school, correct? And it goes directly to the athlete, correct? And there are deals that you've seen more than I have, I'm sure, where, for example, the walk-ons were getting money here, which is basketball, which I thought was great and incredible, stuff like that. How would all these things divided up? Or let's say a company which says, we'll give X, but we want to distribute it equally. Or we're going to give X, but we just like, you know, Rob or Shep or somebody, as each deal is different. How is that money dispersed? How is it taken care of so it's all clean and that kind of thing?
That I'm not going to tell you what I know about that.
Okay.
I only know that from our clients. But it's changed over time. I mean,
over recently or?
Well, I mean, all this started in June of 2021.
Okay.
And so it can come from anywhere. There's not any restriction with respect to who can be the person to license your NIL. Or the business.
Part of my point is, sorry for stepping on you.
It's okay.
Part of my point is that it doesn't have to go through the school.
Right.
The school can help facilitate some things. The school's job, the way I understand it, and UK or somebody, correct me if I'm wrong, they want to make sure the athlete is okay. They want to know the name of the company. And I don't blame them, by the way. This is not a knock on UK, but if I'm the athletics director, maybe I don't want that company representing a student athlete. And by the way, the majority of companies would be great, but we all can think of some companies you go, no, I don't want that. Go make money, but elsewhere. So there's a part that I think the university has to have it come through there.
And in these statutes, including in Kentucky's statute, there are those restrictions. There are a list of kinds of businesses that are not that would not be appropriate for NIL licensing, like, you know, adult clubs and liquor and things like gambling. So there are all of the statutes. Most of the statutes contain those kinds of restrictions,
and they should be in.
And they should be in there. Well, they should be in there. But I'm just telling you, as a lawyer from a legal standpoint, this is all changing.
Changing every day.
Yeah.
The voices, Doug Barr, managing partner, Stoll Keenan. What would you like to see changed? Wow.
I never thought I would say this, Alan.
Please.
During the early months of 2021, when the Alston case was argued to the Supreme Court and listened to the oral arguments in the U.S. Supreme Court, and it looked like, oh my gosh, they're going to hammer the NCAA on this. And it wasn't really even directly about the NIL that we're talking about. I decided that I'm going to educate myself about NIL and become an expert, which I did. And one of the things I never thought I would say is there really should be an antitrust exemption for college sports. Never thought I would say that.
As a lawyer.
And now... Well, I mean, you're a baseball guy, so you know the baseball antitrust exemption.
No, I'm laughing from the conversation with my brother, who's a lawyer, and the fact that you're kind enough to sit here.
Sure.
My brother over a scotch, some conversations we have. Should I set scotch? Well, it's already out there. Whatever.
But again, this is where we are right now, and this is you know, among lawyers who know about NIL, we joke, NIL stands for now it's legal. And
that's really good. I hadn't thought of that.
And it's the analogy I used before. The schools cannot have or do not want to have employees. And so the NIL payments are coming from third parties, right? And it is. Literally, the schools are still not paying for the athletic services. And student athletes can't negotiate with the school to say, well, how much are you going to give me? Except they can, actually, I said this before, they can negotiate to get like graduate school or law school or medical school. You can do that now. I don't think anybody does that, but you can do that.
I think they should, and I think that's beautiful.
I would have done it, right? But that, the problem is that the literally third parties, schools are having to rely on third parties to make these payments to get the athletes to come to their favored school so that that school can compete. And I don't know, Alan, if that I believe that that model is not sustainable. We have great people in Kentucky, and a lot of people have made small donations and some large donations, and that's born most likely from their love of Kentucky and in its schools. But over the long haul, is that sustainable? It is going to be difficult for it to be sustainable, which is that was the original reason that they started forming collectives, is so that people could make small dollar donations and all of it add up and then negotiate the licenses.
So this whole thing will change between now, I think, and football, because as you know, probably much better than me, and I know this too, there's all kinds of negotiations going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
Trying to figure out, how do we fix this? How do we make it better? I guess my thing is, I do not understand that there were some smart people who were putting this out, and I didn't need to be a lawyer to figure out that what were they thinking? And so that's the part that I don't get, how this wasn't thought of with a lot more care. I'm sure they gave care, but they missed so much on this. And these are people, some of them making big, 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 big dollars. I'm sure they have lawyers and other people and advisors and talk to ADs and presidents and stuff like that. It's baffling to me.
Let me tell you just if
you got a nice smile on your face, please.
Well, let me just, this is a funny story.
Okay, please.
All these state statutes got passed and we accumulated all of them, like 20 or 21 of them originally. And one of them was Georgia, right? A big college sports, also professional, but big college sports state. And in Georgia's statute, original statute, the idea was for all of the money for licensing student athletes, NIL, go into a big pot that would be held in trust and then paid out to everyone, all student athletes, whether anybody wanted to use their NIL or not. And immediately other states, you know, didn't have that restriction. And Georgia realized, oh my gosh, if we do that, then athletes aren't going to come here because they don't get the money for their NIL. And Alabama's going to not have a statute and have their individual athletes get paid directly. It's a huge disadvantage. And so this is 2021 when all this started.
And not to think of that.
That's just 3 years ago. I mean, coming up on the third anniversary of this. That's how fast things are changing.
Is there anything about NIL you want to share that I wasn't smart enough to ask you?
No. I think you got most of it. This is in motion. If I go back to my office and I pull up the speeches that I made about NIL, we've taught classes to students.
Have you really?
Yeah, to help them, to student athletes, to help them understand what your rights are. And here are some, you know, if somebody comes to you, these are the things you need to
ask and know what you're doing.
Right. And so trying to help. And when I look at my notes, things have changed. I mean, I have to update them all the time because there are new cases and there are, and I'm telling you, the look for the possibility of a settlement of what's called the House case that's in California about the past NIL, the $3 billion thing. Look for that. But also look for some effort. And I don't know how they're going to do it. It's going to require some political skill, but some effort to get Congress to step in. And you know who will like that more than anybody is the boosters now, who are paying all the NIL money for their school.
You know, I'm glad you said that. I have a funny thing, analogy that might not be true. You want to go to this big game, a Super Bowl, something like that, and the tickets come out, and the tickets are ridiculously high. I can't give you numbers. I've never seen stats, but I've seen this in too many stories to know there's a trend here somewhere. So the tickets come out today, and all of a sudden they say, supply and demand. The price is so high, it's unbelievable. And then when you get closer to the game, the price goes down. Every time? No. I've seen it many times. My thing is, you're Joe Blow dealership, and you're doing really well, and you've decided to give a lot of money to let either a group of kids or a kid, whatever. But the team doesn't do well. And maybe the kid doesn't do well. Maybe you're less apt to give that kind of high dollars the next year. Maybe this thing will go up. I do believe, by the way, recently that the dollars for centers went up because there was also a run on centers.
Yeah.
And there weren't very many left. And so, therefore, if you wanted the center and you...
Supply and demand.
Yes, it was. And there was some money paid to some centers that would never have been paid 3 weeks ago. I absolutely believe that. Somebody prove me wrong, you can't. Supply and demand. So I'm wondering, as this thing develops, some of the people that, let's say, have might dished out $50,000 or $100,000, whatever, might they say, what did I get for my return? Am I just a jock sniffer that just wants to help an athlete out? And really, can I sustain paying $50,000 a year? Some companies can. God bless, more power to them. But I think there's a lot of people paying money that are going to have some second thoughts down the road based upon a performance and, like anything else, a return on their dollar. Is that nuts?
No. And this is something that people don't realize, I think. And that is, all of these statutes that got passed originally, I believe all is the right word, but all the statutes that got passed originally contained in them a restriction that the NIL money that an athlete got paid had to be market value. And some of them defined market value. One Florida's statute, for example, had a definition, but some of them didn't. But what it was meant to describe was, if Alan Cutler goes and does a commercial for a local car dealership, what's that worth to the dealership, right? It that's what you would get paid. And they make some sort of a calculation on, here's how much value Alan adds to that, and here's how many more sales I'm going to make if I do this, right? That's what market, you know, the Q scores, that's the market value. All of that, most of that, if not all of it, is gone now.
It's about emotion.
Right.
It's emotional buy.
And you tell me, Alan, that a quarterback high school kid from Texas is, that his Q score, I mean, unknown guy, would be high enough for him to command $1 million or $2 million or $5 million, is what you're hearing, to sell his NIL at Tennessee. It doesn't bear any relation to the market for the commercial use of someone's name, image, and likeness.
Could agree with you more. By the way, what's the highest deal you've ever heard that you think is legitimate? Because I'm sure you've heard a lot of deals that found out that you don't want to touch that, do you? You want to leave that alone?
Yeah.
I'm not saying about this one of your clients, but out there that you believe is legitimate.
It's hard to know what to believe.
Amen. Me
it,
too.
It is hard to know what
yeah,
to believe.
Yeah. And,
but millions, this is not my client or anyone that I know, except one of my best friends, who is a sports lawyer, retired from a professional sports team.
Okay.
And he is aware that of basketball players that you would know that had more than $1 million.
Oh, I easily buy that.
Yeah. And this is my friend that I've known for 35 years.
Yeah, don't say something you shouldn't say.
Right. But so I believe him, and he teaches sports law at a law school. So but the others you hear, who knows, right? I mean, who knows?
There's
so many conditions. We do license agreements all the time, and it's hard to know exactly what.
Would you come back in the fall when things change?
Sure, I'd love to.
Let me offer this to you. You might tell me to go jump in a lake. I do this, Jimmy will tell you, like somebody comes on, give me your Twitter handle, that kind of stuff, where you're writing for, just to give everybody a plug for themselves. If you want, because we have people in Louisville, Indianapolis, we even have few people in Cuba listening. It doesn't make any sense to me. But you want to give out your name and number if there's an athlete, because there are people listening all across the country that might want to call you, because listening to you, and if I'm in Washington, I'm interested in your services. So if you want to give yourself name, plug, phone number, please do it.
I'm constrained ethically from recommending my services to strangers.
Okay.
You've mentioned my firm. I'm at Stahl, Keen & Ogden here in Lexington, Kentucky.
You want to give me your phone number and I'll give it out later for you?
Sure.
I'm happy to do that.
That's unethical too, but you know what I'm
saying. Can I look it up myself?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I'll look it up myself.
Right.
I was trying to help. I wasn't trying
to
help.
I know.
You just had a look that I haven't seen in 40 minutes. That wasn't my purpose. You know that.
Of course.
I got two words for you. Thank you.
Sure.
I found this fascinating. I learned, and I need to learn more, and I suspect there'll be something coming out before the football season.
I think so, too.
And I hope.
And if it does, I'll give you a call.
Okay. Thank you so much. Sure. I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Doug Barr, kind enough to join us. If you're listening in different parts of the world, managing partner of Stahl Keenan, K-E-E-N-A-N. If you want to Google it, you need to look it up. Is that good enough? If they can't find it from there, you know what?
SKOfirm.com. That's our website.
One more time. I laughed on you.
SKOfirm.com.
Thank
That's
you,
our
Doug.
Website.
I really appreciate
Thanks,
it. Keith Madison in a couple minutes, and I got to figure out if I can talk about Cal and Kelly before Keith. I might have to wait. I have some stuff on Cal that's going to be very interesting, and I have some stuff on Kelly Kraft that's very interesting that you haven't heard anywhere else. And when I started this thing, you didn't hear it anybody else. And I believe I'm the only one to tell the truth and know the story. And if that sounds like too much hot air, I don't give a rat's. It's the truth. Alan Cutler, Doug, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you to Mark Pope also. Mark was really good. And that, what was that thing? What did he do he laughed at? Was it the Crecia kid? Jimmy, what was it that was that thing? It was Crecia, wasn't it?
I need a little more than the thing.
His
about the jersey?
No, his remark. Oh, yeah, about the jersey. You're right. Yeah, that he had Luka Doncic's jersey number before Luka did. And by the way, they played against each other, and he got it in his face. Have you seen the video? It's great stuff. I watched the thing. I'm going, this little guy is coming here? Oh, that's great. If he ain't afraid of Luka, and if you think Luka's big here, you got to realize how big he is in his home territory. Much, much bigger. And he just stood up to him. I'm going, woo, woo.
He even wagged his finger in his face.
Yes, he did. You're right. That was, I forgot. You're right. Thank you, Doug. Alan Cutler, 1300 AM, 92.5 FM.
The Alan Cutler Show on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM and on the ESPN Lexington app. Back to No Filter Radio with Alan Cutler. Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, and Google, Monday through Friday.
Welcome back, everyone. The beauty of cell phones. The beauty of cell phones. Keith Madison, one of the nicest human beings in the world.
Alan, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, dude. How are you, sir? Keith Madison, who only coached baseball here for about 50 years, won a gazillion games, and one of the great guys you will ever meet, is at the game now. Give us an update. Are they playing or not playing? And I want to talk about UK baseball. How are you, dude?
I'm good. Actually, in a weather delay, they had originally scheduled a game for 6:30. That was on the original schedule. They moved it up so that they could get it in because they thought bad weather was coming in this evening. But they're in a weather delay now. Actually, Alan, I'm not at the game. I did not travel with the team this weekend.
Tell me about the team. And did you expect them to be so special this year? I think we had talked and you thought they'd be better, but did you think they'd be this good? Because it's big time what they're doing.
Yeah, it is big time. I really wasn't sure because they had so many new players coming in. It was really I watched them practice in the fall, and I thought they had some really good-looking players. They had a few excellent players returning from last year, guys like Ryan Walschmidt and Grant Smith at shortstop and Million Petrie at second base, Devin Burks behind the plate. So I knew they were going to be good, but I didn't know how these new guys would fit in. You never know that, but I tell you, Nick Mangione has done a tremendous job of not only getting good players from the transfer portal, but also getting some good people. And they have really come together. They pulled together as a team. They really seem to enjoy playing with one another, and they're playing very well.
The aggressive nature that he's now bringing to the table that, please correct me if I'm not putting this the proper way, has sort of evolved during his time here. I love the aggressive nature. Can you talk about the evolution?
Yeah, I can. From at least I can talk about it from my viewpoint. Now he may disagree, but the way I see it is when he first came here, He had that great team. A lot of those players, you know, was on the team the previous year, but they really gelled. They won a regional here. They went on to play in a super regional at Louisville. That team was a talented team, and they executed very well. They could, you know, they could hit, they could bunt, they could move runners. The way I see it is it has evolved into a team that's very daring on the base pass. Alan, you're old enough to remember this, but many of the listeners will not be. But sort of like the Walter Alston teams of the Dodgers back in the late 60s, you know, guys like Maury Wills, who would take the extra base, who would put so much pressure on the defense that it sort of disrupted the pitcher's rhythm. That's the style of baseball that Kentucky plays now. But they don't only play that style of baseball. They can be very daring on the bases and put a lot of pressure on the pitcher and on the defense at times. And then at other times, they have big innings. They have some power in their lineup. They have some pop in that lineup. Guys like Nicholson and Ryan Walschmidt, they're good hitters. So they can beat you in a lot of different ways. But I will say this, in my opinion, the way they really beat you is with pitching and defense, because these guys can really field.
Is defense like a dying art? I'm old school. I love defense. I've always loved defense. I mean, you know, you want your guy to hit 300 and that kind of stuff. But a great defensive player, I think, exponentially saves more runs than often is given credit for. What do you look for to make it so special defensively when you're recruiting?
Well, you know, you'll hear guys like our mutual friend Doug Flynn talk about, you know, you play infield with your feet. So you look for guys that have quick feet and soft hands. So that's the infield. And then in the outfield, you want guys that can really run. The great outfielders that ever played the game are guys that have great speed, and they get good jumps and those kinds of things. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but it all starts, and you've heard this a million times, Alan, it starts with strength up the middle. Good catcher, good middle infielders, good center infielder, a center fielder that can really go get them, middle infielders that have great hands that can turn to double play, and a catcher that can sort of control the defense by the way he communicates with the pitcher and the way that he handles that part of the game. So that's where it starts.
I love the stadium that Mitch has put together. I love the potential growth for it. I can see Kentucky baseball being a consistent top 20 team now with the facilities and the aggressiveness that's going on here. Am I pushing that too far, or that's your hope, or you really see it happening now?
Oh, I really see it happening. I think the fact that they put together back-to-back years like last year's team who went to a super regional and competed against LSU, a team that won it all. They had a great year last year. And then this year they lost some of those players, but they came right back and Nick and his staff put it together again. And now they're ranked in the top two or three in the nation. And their RPI, I think, is either number one or number two. So, I mean, they have really got a great team. And I know a lot of people came out to see them when they played Tennessee and also when they played Arkansas, but if you don't want to let this team get out of town without seeing them play, because they're very special.
Go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say they're obviously playing in Florida this weekend, but next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they'll have Vanderbilt at home. So, you know, get out there and watch these guys play, because they have some special talent, especially, you know, I think of guys like Ryan Walschmidt in left field. This guy's a big-time pro prospect. Grant Smith is one of the best college shortstops I've ever seen. He's so steady. He's only made three errors all year, and he only made three errors last year. That's unheard of for a college shortstop.
Yeah, you don't usually use the term ever seen very often. You're not a hype guy.
No.
So when you say ever seen, Keith, that makes me stop and really, really pay attention because you're saying it and you're not a hype guy.
Yeah, and he's, you know, when you look at him, he doesn't look like the most athletic player that you've ever seen, but he is so steady. He just makes every play. And he's one of those mature shortstops that has a good arm, but he doesn't overuse it. I think a lot of times shortstops, they want to showcase their arm, and that's why they make a lot of throwing errors. He throws the ball just hard enough to get the guy out every time. He has that knack. You know, he really has a professional approach to the college game. So he is definitely a special player that you almost have to watch him over the long haul to appreciate him. But he's an exceptional young man.
Not a fair question. I'm going to throw it at you anyway. Does UK have a bunch of kids that someday might play Major League Baseball?
Absolutely. I really, you know, I always hate to make predictions because they usually come back to bite you. But young man at second base, Emilian Petrie, he's from Quebec, believe it or not. And he has developed into one heck of a player, left-handed hitter, exceptional arm for a second baseman, good pop in the bat. And he's still growing in the game. He's still getting better and better. Also, Ryan Walshman, I mentioned him earlier in left field. He is strong. He has good power. He can hit. You know, there's some guys that, you know, it's almost like they were born to hit. You wake them up on Christmas Eve and get them out of bed and put a bat in their hand, and they're going to hit a baseball. And he's one of those guys. He can really play. And then they have some really good arms on that staff too. Trey Pooser has been very good as the Friday night starter. They have a young guy from Walton, Kentucky, Travis Smith, who has an exceptional arm. He's still growing into his game. And then Mason Moore from Round County. He's the Sunday starter. He's a very athletic pitcher, good sinker ball. Reminds you a little bit of Brandon Webb with his sinker.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he's got a chance to be really special.
NIL, is it becoming a bigger and bigger issue competitive-wise to get players? Is it not? You know, we hear so much about football and basketball. You got a feel or taste as to where it's going?
Yeah, you know, I to be honest with you, I don't like where it's going because the big money schools are gathering a lot of money for name, image, and likeness. And I'm not saying this in an ugly way, but a school like LSU, who's won many national championships in baseball, baseball's extremely important to the fan base there. They have tremendous money to go for name, image, and likeness. And I think they're probably the best funded baseball program in America when it comes to NIL. So, you know, there's got to be some guidelines. Maybe it's you've heard this term before, Alan, but it's like the Wild West. You know,
yep.
Nobody's in control, and you wonder how long the donors are going to be making contributions to the NIL pool, because you know that money's only going to last so long, and so there probably needs to be some guidelines. But who is going to grab control? I think the NCAA is fearful of grabbing control. They're afraid of lawsuits. But somebody needs to really show some leadership and say, we've got to control this in one way or the other.
Keith, as always, I appreciate your time. You sound like in retirement, you're having a blast talking about this UK baseball team.
You know, my retirement is sort of like yours, Alan. We never really retire. We just keep going. We're like the Energizer Bunny. We just keep going and going and going. But that's because we love it, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're both lucky. Could I do this 10 years from now? I don't know. Do I think now it's possible? I hope so, Lord willing. I mean, this is my hobby that Judy's very glad gets me out of the house.
Well, listen, my friend, you're one of the best, so I hope you never retire completely.
Bless you, Keith. Thanks for coming on. And when it comes down to NCAA time, I hope we can tap you to come back.
Absolutely. I'd be glad to.
Hey, dude, it's just good hearing your voice. You have a very calming voice, and you do a really good job on radio. You really do, so understand how good you are.
Oh, man. Darren Hedrick carries me. He's a pro. I just get on there and tell stories and talk baseball. That's all I know how to do.
And you know what? Darren is very good. Darren is a very good baseball announcer. Yeah. And he's actually... And I say this with kindness. He's grown since he came here.
Oh yeah, he's exceptional.
Yep.
I think he's major league quality. I really do.
Actually, I'm surprised he's still here. To tell you the truth, that's not this about me. It's not a shot against UK, but there are other avenues that I believe will be open to him if he so chooses. And if not, somebody's not being smart by not plucking him. Let's put it that way.
I agree, Alan. I really do.
Keith, thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon, and enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride, my friend.
Okay. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you. Keith Madison, one of the kindest gentlemen you will ever meet. Really. Keith is great. He's just great. By the way, I signed a bunch of books. Was it a week ago, 10 days ago, whenever it was when Derek Ramsey had his book signing at Joseph Beth? So there are now signed books, A Cut to the Chase, where we've gone through many, 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 many orders of them purchasing and selling out. So if it's out there, since I know a lot of you are new to the show, is it 440 pages or 460? I don't even remember. But I ad-libbed the book on my career, my life, and it's no filter. So that's out there. And don't forget that Terry Page is out there. 859-373-0578. 859-373-0578. She's on vacation. So text her to get an appointment. She's a very, very, very special licensed massage therapist, a friend, and she's helped me with some physical issues. It's special. She's a natural healer. Terry Page, 859-373-0578. Mark Pope, that interview, Jimmy will have up before 2:30. The whole show will be up on podcast at WLXG.com.
The Alan Cutler Show on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM and on the ESPN Lexington app. Presented by the Don Franklin Family of Dealerships.
Every bank claims to have great customer service. But at Republic Bank, you don't have to take our word for it. According to a recent customer satisfaction study by the Qualtrics XM Institute, Republic Bank customers are nearly 3 times more likely to recommend us to friends and family compared to the industry average. That's right, nearly 3 times. So, what are you waiting for? Choose a bank you can brag about. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
School's almost out, but the deals are just getting started at Don Franklin. We've got the largest inventory of new, used, and certified pre-owned vehicles in the state. Plus, take advantage of Don Franklin's 10-year unlimited mile powertrain coverage, available for most makes and models. With 27 dealerships all across the Bluegrass, our trusted family is here to serve all of your auto needs, Kentucky. Come on in to your local Don Franklin dealership or steer your way over to DonFranklinAuto.com. Driven by family.
Houchins Insurance Group is proud to partner with Auto Owners Insurance, a company that provides opportunity for independent agents to make insurance simple for their clients, offering risk management services that range from a renter's policy for your college student to home and auto coverage for your entire family. Houchins Insurance Group assures you that nobody works harder to keep you protected from life's uncertainties.
Reach out to AJ Boss or Zach Bennett at 859-263-2771 to see if Auto Owners Insurance makes sense for you.
On the road again.
Rick, where do you think you're going?
Everywhere, Brett. Warm weather makes me want to get on the road again.
If you're like my brother Rick and you can't wait to get on the road this summer, be sure to stop in Clark's Pump and Shop for discounted gas and in-store specials.
That's right. This month we have Jack Link's Jerky 3 1/4 ounce bags, 2 for $10, and assorted combos peg bags, 2 for $5.
Clark's Pump and Shop. Return, refresh, refuel.
Back to No Filter Radio with Alan Cutler. Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, and Google, Monday through Friday.
What a fun day so far. What a fun day. Mark Pope was great. His analysis of the players, talking about snoring, talking about the dirty rappers in the room between he and Shep, talking about his love of Kentucky. Talking about bringing people together. I think the comment that's going to get the most play, it's already getting a bunch of play on Twitter, Jimmy, is the Creasa comment. It's getting a lot of play.
As it should.
Yes, it really should. Hey, Luka Doncic, I had the number before him. And if you haven't seen the video, it's easy to find about him getting Luka's face back in his country. I think Creasa's in town, by the way.
Yeah, that's what he said. He was.
Yeah.
They were there.
Yeah.
Like that was like 2 hours ago. He said they had that conversation.
Yeah. Which, to tell you the truth, I think we're lucky that he didn't postpone today for next week, which he could have done. I think if Creasa was in town, there was probably a shot he'd been live in the studio. But the fact that he did it with Creasa in town, that was honestly above and beyond the call of duty. I'm loving the NBA playoffs. I think it's not good. I think it's spectacular. And there's no doubt, I mentioned this the other day, if you recall, that P.J. Washington has changed. He's really changed. He's changed his body. Do you remember how thick he was at one point when he played for Charlotte? He got really thick and got really big. And I thought he lost his quickness. And I don't know what he's done. I can tell you by looking at him, he's lost a bunch of weight. And I don't necessarily mean it was fat weight. You know, you can lift weights and get too big, right?
Yeah, you can get bulky.
Bulky, that's a good word. Thank you. And he is thinner. And so how many times have you heard, not skinny, he's not a skinny man, but how many times have you heard the stars, well, they got to do their things, but the role players, which PJ is, they have to do things also in the playoffs. So they will often say, and I've heard this a gazillion times, since 1960, that on the road, the role players normally don't play as well. I'm sure you've heard that as well, that it's just easier in a comfort zone. That made what P.J. Washington did last night even more special. Played 40 minutes. 7 of 11 from downtown. It was at OKC. 29 points, 11 rebounds, plus 9. He was spectacular. He wasn't good, he was spectacular. I was amazed Kyrie Irving wasn't even looking to shoot. And by the way, Kyrie still played well with 11 assists, and some of the passes he made were just really, really, really good. And Luka, man, for a guy that's banged up and obviously hurt, and he had 29 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. And I love OKC. And by the way, SGA, you know, he gets 33 points, and it doesn't look like he has 33 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He had 33 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. And it's now a series. It is a series the way it should be. Well, the thing I was going to do about UK football, it's going to wait till next week, and I think it will still hold. I think it will still hold. Okay, so the number one thing you heard today, think about it. We had, what a unique day. Doug Barr, managing partner Stoll Keenan, who's an expert on NIL. What did you learn from that today?
That it's a complicated issue.
Yes, it is.
And it's changing.
Every moment.
Like rapidly yes. changing.
Yes. And I like one of the things he said when he talked about, he went back and looked at his notes.
Yeah.
That weren't that long, wasn't that long ago, because his thing isn't that long in that he's had to continue to update his notes and see how things change and stuff like that. I hope he comes back, and I bet he will for us. We appreciate his time in the fall because something is going to change with that. What do you think people got out of the Mark Pope conversation, not interview conversation?
I think just that he has a genuine love for Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's genuine. It's real. It doesn't seem canned. It doesn't seem fake. It doesn't seem like he's doing the rah-rah thing, which some coaches do. When you get somewhere new, you want to be the rah-rah guy. But his isn't rah-rah. It's real because he lived it.
Let me agree with you, but change of term, okay? Mark is rah-rah 24 hours a day.
So yeah.
That's him naturally.
Yeah, but it's not a put-on.
No. No. Mark Pope is one of the most sincere human beings I have ever met. I wish I had the brain cells he lost. I mean, come on. Rhodes Scholar candidate? Can you imagine having that form in front of you? The form in front of you? No. Like, can I get an application to Harvard? Why? You're too stupid. Not me. Mark? Sure. Anyway, it was fun show, fun week. Check out the podcast. Our podcast numbers are going up like crazy. A lot of people listening live. That's gone up like crazy. I appreciate you all. I appreciate you telling your friends. And I hope you appreciate how sincere I am and the fun I'm having doing this show. Brad Taylor coming up next. Jimmy and Matthew, Monday at 10. I'll be back at noon. And Rags and Kenny. Rags and Kenny Rice on Monday. Chipper up on Tuesday. Todd Ziegler and Jonathan Davis on Friday. And we'll work on Tuesday and Wednesday. And I think we need to do this. And you obviously said it, so we were thinking the same way. We're going to replay the Pope thing sometime next week. And what we're also going to do is take snippets. Jimmy will take snippets out. Comments about each player. And I think we got to do the snoring thing, right? And the rapper thing. You think anything else we have to do besides playing the whole thing some other time? That's just a section of it. The snoring thing was good. The rapper thing was good. Because guess what? They were college kids. Oh, the car thing. Were you here for the car thing? When the car broke down with Ian Shep, can you imagine if there were cell phones back in the day when their car dies on Main Street? That would go viral, wouldn't it? Just normal college kid stuff. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great day. Alan Cutler, 1300 AM, 92.5 FM.
Listen to the Alan Cutler Show weekdays noon to 2 on